Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
Tuesday, October 25th, 2005. The Digital Story Show. Today, RAW. To shoot or not to shoot? Well, there was another Apple announcement this week. There's been quite a few of them lately. Any of you that's been following the show or just the news in general, know that Apple's been pretty busy and has been keeping folks like me on our toes. This week's announcement in New York City, as part of the Photo Expo, was a new application, a professional level application called Aputure. And Aputure is actually generating quite a bit of interest out there, mainly because it is a workflow solution for people who like shooting RAW. It's a very robust application. It takes care of everything from uploading the images from your camera all the way through sorting them, organizing them, archiving them, editing them, and then even various types of output. I think what has a lot of people excited about Aputure is the fact, though, that it looks like a good solution for those of us who like to shoot RAW, but who have been frustrated by, you know, the hassle, the process of doing it. So I thought what I would do this week is talk a little bit about why you would want to shoot RAW in the first place, the advantages of it. And then next week, I would get a little bit into workflow with RAW and ways to manage those files once you've recorded them with your camera. But, you know, really, I think before we get to the workflow part, it's really worth discussing why would you want to shoot RAW in the first place? And actually, what is RAW? It's pretty interesting, actually. RAW, you know, R-A-W, as you'll see, if you have a digital SLR, it's one of the options you have. And then also some of the advanced amateur cameras also provide a RAW alternative to JPEG, which is the default format that most digital cameras record in. It's funny because RAW doesn't really stand for anything. You know, R-A-W is just that, RAW. And there's no hidden meaning there or anything like that. It's a different format than JPEG in a lot of ways. And I'm going to cover some of that today. First thing, though, that I should discuss is that there is no one RAW format. Every camera manufacturer sort of has their own version of what RAW is based on the particular electronics of that camera, the image sensor and the electronics that process or handle or convert that data. So, for instance, Canon cameras, you'll see one type of extension for these files when you look at them on your hard drive or whatever. It'll be either .crw or .cr2. And then you can turn around and an Olympus camera will have a completely different extension, as will Nikon and so on and so forth. So there is no one RAW format. There's no, you know, everyone shoots RAW and, you know, they get a file that is, you know, .raw. It just doesn't happen that way. And of course, that's created a big challenge for folks such as Adobe, who have come up with their application to process these images called Camera RAW. They are constantly having to update it to accommodate new cameras and new variations of this format. It's much more complicated situation than dealing with JPEGs, which is a very standard format, and basically a JPEG is a JPEG is a JPEG, and that's not the case with RAW. So if you have a Canon camera, as I mentioned earlier, you'll be producing one type of RAW file, Nikon shooters another, and it just goes and goes and goes from there. So why would we even want to mess with this format? It already, I mean, I've just begun to describe a little bit about what it is, and already, you know, you feel yourself kind of twitching and going, I think I'll shoot JPEG. And, you know, a lot of times, quite honestly, JPEG is really a great way to go. Ease of use is certainly one of its strengths. But there are situations where RAW can be very handy too, and I want to cover that a little bit right now. One of the differences between RAW and JPEG is that when you shoot JPEG with any camera that you have, the camera actually processes the image for you in the camera. And manufacturers have spent a lot of time perfecting how this happens to produce the best image possible. And a lot of times you're given options even on how that JPEG is processed. You can set controls for sharpening, you know, to have a more sharpening applied. You can set controls for contrast and so on down the line. And what you're doing is you're telling the camera that when I shoot the picture and it's recorded by the image sensor, then I'd like it processed, and I'd like it processed kind of this way. And this all happens very quickly, and then the file is written to the memory card on your camera, and it's basically fully baked. It's ready to go. It's like when Martha Stewart pulls that quiche out of the oven and it's ready to eat, and that's really what a JPEG is. RAW is a lot different. Things sort of start the same, which is your camera's electronics and image sensor record all the data, just like it would with JPEG. But then instead of processing it, instead of fully baking the file, so to speak, instead, the RAW is sort of, all that information is put in a container, but it's not processed. It's sort of held there in limbo. So going back to my analogy of Martha Stewart's quiche, it would be then like she has all the ingredients there on the table to make the quiche, and she kind of bundles them all up and has them ready to go, but she hasn't put them in the oven yet. And in fact, she hasn't even mixed them together yet. She just has everything there so that later on, if you decided that you wanted a little bit more egg or milk in the quiche and maybe a little less spinach, you can make that decision later on before you put it in the oven. So a lot of the decisions about how your picture will look are actually delayed, and this is when shooting RAW, are actually delayed until you get to the computer, until later on. Now, some people see this as a huge advantage of RAW, and other people see it as a drawback, and it really depends on your situation. Okay. Now, a lot of times, I see it as an advantage when I'm in a difficult, what I call a difficult photographic situation. That sounds awful euphemistic for, oh my God, what do I do? I'll give you an example. Let's say that I'm shooting a portrait, an existing light portrait, in a warehouse that has all sorts of different types of lighting. It might have some of those nasty mercury vapor lights. There might be some fluorescent lights. There may even be some tungsten and even possibly some daylight coming in from windows or something. So when I'm there in that situation, looking at the lighting, of course, my eyes are sort of in real time correcting all of this so that I see a relatively natural looking lighting situation. But the camera is really having a hard time with all these different light sources that are at different color temperatures. And for me to make a decision right then as to what's the best way to set the white balance on my camera to render the best skin tones or the best overall look to the picture is hard. It's really hard. And I think it's particularly hard when you have someone there, a model or a subject who's agreed to stand still for 5 minutes to let you take the picture. You don't want to use all 5 minutes up fiddling with your controls, trying to figure out, well, maybe if I use the fluorescent to white balance setting, that'll work. So you put it on fluorescent and you take a few shots and then you look at them on the LCD and go, whoa, that's definitely not the way to go. I'll try auto white balance and same thing happens. And, you know, after a few of these test runs, your subject begins to fidget and say, are you about ready to go? And then, of course, you've lost a lot of momentum and possibly the whole shoot kind of goes downhill from there. This is a great situation for RAW. And the reason being is that in RAW, you can delay the decision on how to set the color temperature until you're back on the computer where you have all the time in the world and you have a lot more controls available to you. And you can make those adjustments in real time, a lot of times just by moving various sliders in Camera Raw or whatever you're using until it looks the way that you want. And this is really a great advantage. And there's no harm done by doing that because the picture hasn't been baked yet. You're not rewriting any data at all. In fact, you're really just taking that information that's there and translating it for the very first time. And this is really huge when you're in difficult situations like that. So if I were in the same situation, then I would be very tempted to set my camera in RAW mode, put the white balance, just leave it in auto white balance, let the camera take its best shot at adjusting the white balance, knowing that later on, if I don't like the way the image looks, I can change it again, and there's no harm done. This allows me to shoot faster. This allows me to look more professional, like I know what I'm doing, because I'm not fiddling around with a lot of controls, and just move through the whole shoot quicker. So that's one of the times where I think RAW really becomes the format of choice. There are other advantages to using this format. One of them is how much information, data, that you actually have to work with later on. One of the things about JPEG images is that they basically are what we call 8-bit files. And I'm not going to go into the difference between 8-bit in 16-bit and 32-bit in great detail right now, but I will tell you this, that an image that is recorded with 16 bits has a lot more photographic information in the picture, which means then things like the subtleties in the shadows and in the highlights, there's a lot more information there, a lot more gradation, than an 8-bit image, which only has half as many bits. And so you don't have as much photographic information to work with. JPEGs are 8-bit images, but when you shoot in RAW, your camera is recording in 12 or 16 bits, and actually when you upload the image to your computer, you can work in full 16 bits. That means, of course, that again, in tricky exposure situations and lighting situations, you have a lot better chance of holding the highlights and the shadows with a 16-bit image than you do with an 8-bit image. In Photoshop CS, if you're CS2, if you're using that, allows you to apply all your normal editing controls, levels, curves, color balance in 16-bit mode. So you can really work this image. You can really get all of the quality out of the picture that you originally recorded. Whereas right away, when you're shooting JPEG, right away, when the camera processes the image, it is actually throwing away some of the available information while it processes it. So there's another advantage to RAW too, that you're just getting more photographic information. Pretty cool stuff. Now, there are some real downsides to this also. One of the big advantages to JPEGs are that you can shoot at a very high JPEG quality. You know, when you are setting up your camera, you have in the menu, you have all sorts of things to set. And one of them is, you know, how high of a quality do you want your JPEG? You know, and there's, you know, standard and better and best kind of thing. So even at the highest quality for your JPEG file, when the camera processes it and it does some compression, and that's mainly what the quality setting does. If you have a very high quality setting, then the camera doesn't process the JPEG as much, so it doesn't throw away as much information, doesn't compress it as much, I should say. So, but even when it's not throwing away very much information, a very high quality setting, that JPEG file is relatively small. It doesn't take up a lot of room on your memory card. So on a 1 gigabyte card, let's say, if you're shooting, let's say 6 megapixel pictures, you can probably get around 400 JPEGs to that memory card, which is really nice. It's very appealing. And they're good shots. They're high quality shots. If you're shooting in RAW mode, there really isn't any compression going on. I mean, remember, in RAW mode, the camera isn't really technically processing the image. It's moving some of the data around and putting it in a format that in a container that can be put on the memory card, but it's not doing a lot of processing. Therefore, literally, your data is raw, so to speak. And that means that those files are a lot bigger, quite a bit bigger sometimes. Let's say that on a memory card where you could get 400 JPEGs, you might only be able to get 120 or so raw images. So they take up a lot more space. And then that translates when you upload those pictures to your computer, then they take up a lot more information on the hard drive too. So if you want the benefits of RAW, then you have to pay the price. You have to pay the price both at the time when you're recording the images with your camera, and you pay the price again when you upload them to your computer. Plus, RAW images usually take a little bit longer to process on the camera, and in things like where you have a burst mode, where you're shooting in the continuous mode, you can usually shoot a lot more, many more frames with a JPEG than you can with RAW. So if your camera allows you to, let's say, shoot 12 frames in a burst mode before it has to pause with JPEG, you might only be able to shoot 5 or 6 RAW, again, because it is handling moving a lot more data around. So, you know, those are some of the downsides to shooting RAW, especially on the camera end of things. Now, next week when I talk about processing RAW, then there's also other workflow issues around that. And mainly, one of them is that at some point you have to convert that RAW image to another format JPEG or TIFF or a Photoshop file. Just as a side note, this is one of the reasons why a lot of people are excited about this new application from Apple called Aperture, because it allows you to upload raw files to it. You can edit them, you can move them around, you can print them out, you can do all sorts of stuff with them, and you never have to do that conversion to another format, to TIFF or Photoshop or whatever. You can just stay. It holds it kind of in that raw state, and allows you to work with it. And you know, that's pretty exciting to a lot of people who have been spending quite a bit of time converting their raw images to other formats after they've applied whatever color balance and exposure controls to it. Real time saver. So, you know, it comes down then to when should you shoot RAW and when should you shoot JPEG? And this is a hotly debated topic. And I'll be speaking at the upcoming Macworld San Francisco show. That's in January. And I have an introduction to digital photography class there. And I'm actually going to be doing a two-day intensive on Aperture, which is really exciting. And then I have a Birds of a Feather session. And Birds of a Feather sessions are really a lot of fun. And believe me, this digression is going somewhere. And what's fun about Birds of a Feather is that they usually happen right after the main day's events, about 6 o'clock or so in the evening. And we all just get together and, you know, we have this shared interest, in this case, digital photography. And that's kind of where the whole Birds of a Feather thing comes from. And I will usually make a few statements and sort of set the tone for the evening. And then I just open it up and I let people ask questions and comment and so forth. And invariably, one of the topics that comes up right away is, you know, about shooting RAW. And then it's usually a somewhat hotly contested subject. I don't mean people start throwing lens caps at each other and things like that, but folks certainly have their opinions about when to shoot RAW, when not to shoot RAW, and all that kind of stuff. And the different schools are, some people believe that you should always shoot RAW. And their argument is that you should always get the highest quality possible out of your camera, every shot, and then decide later if you need to sample it down or do something else with it. But that you always have the opportunity to go back and, you know, and use that original data and get the best image possible. So one camp says shoot RAW all the time. Now another camp says, well, you know, RAW is great, but for what I do, 4x6s, 5x7s, even 8x10s, I really can't see the difference in my prints from the RAW that I from shooting RAW that in JPEG. So why go through all the hassle of RAW when, you know, I really can't see that much difference anyway? So they say, you know, shoot JPEG all the time. And never mess with RAW. Then there's a camp that more or less I subscribe to, and that is, it depends. It depends. I mean, there are times when I really just want to shoot JPEG. I don't feel like messing with the RAW workflow. I want to have more images on my memory card. I don't want to do a bunch of post-processing after I upload them to my computer. I just want to take the pictures and I want to upload them to a web page or something with minimal fussing around. And for those types of shoots, JPEG really works well, especially if you use good photographic technique, exposure and flash and all that kind of stuff. Some of the stuff that I've talked about in some of the other shows. But there are other times where I think RAW is definitely the right way to go. And for high quality portraits, for landscape, for tricky lighting situations, for times when I want to squeeze every ounce of quality out of my camera, these are the times where shooting in RAW allows me to make decisions later on and also gives me the confidence to know that I have every bit of quality that my camera offers. Now, again, you know, I have to have more memory with me, and I'm going to give up more space on my hard disk, but in those situations, I really feel like it's worth it. So I end up shooting JPEG about 30 or 40% of the time and shooting RAW the rest of the time. Now, with these new applications such as Aputure, and I know we're going to see more beyond that, the times that I shoot RAW could increase, because I might actually, because post-production becomes so much easier, then really the only trade-off is the larger file sizes on both my memory card and my hard drive. And I go, well, heck, if it's just as easy to process these things and manage them on my computer, why not shoot RAW more often? So that could change. That could change. And it remains to be seen how this all works out. Now, you know, I'll tell you, and there's another wrinkle in this, and as you move up in your cameras, as you upgrade from, you know, a 4-megapixel camera to a 6-megapixel camera to an 8-megapixel camera to, I'm just now shooting, I just got the new Canon 5D that's over 12 megapixels. I tell you, not only are your JPEGs bigger, but your RAW files really get big. And so then suddenly a 1 gigabyte memory card no longer will cut it. I need to get a 2 or 4 gigabyte memory card. And believe me, those puppies aren't cheap. I just paid, I believe, $179 for a 2 gigabyte card. And so you know that a 4 gigabyte card, you know, is going to be close to $350. That's a lot of money when you've just spent, you know, X amount of dollars for your new camera. Not to mention, how are you going to store all this stuff? I use a laptop mostly because I'm on the go. And, you know, laptops have 80 gigabyte hard drives, generally speaking. Well, when you have a little bit of music on there and your other work and the operating system, and then you start throwing these RAW files on there, an 80 gigabyte hard drive is just not very much. So then you have to start thinking about, all right, I need to buy at least one external hard drive to offload my images. And then, you know, you need a cataloging system so you can find them. And, you know, all of this ripple effect begins to happen. Not to mention that you better have a relatively new computer to even, you know, process these images. You're not going to process an 8-megapixel RAW file with a 4-year-old computer. So you have to start thinking about upgrading your computer and on and on and on. This can add up to be quite a bit of money when it's all said and done. So I guess to go back to, you know, when to shoot RAW, when to shoot JPEG, I think there's a real financial side to it that you have to consider. Memory cards, you're going to spend more on memory cards. You're going to have a current computer. And you're going to really have to think about external hard drive storage and a way to archive and manage all this stuff. So that, you know, the whole impact is much greater than when you shoot JPEGs and they're taking up less space everywhere. They're more compact, and they really allow you to delay a lot of these decisions that we're talking about in terms of upgrading your computer and adding drive space. So these are all things to take into consideration when you're thinking about RAW versus JPEG. I think it's really worth it to practice shooting RAW, to get comfortable with it, to use some of the tools that you have, For instance, if you have a camera that shoots RAW, it comes with software to process those images. If you're shooting with Adobe Photoshop, either CS or Elements 3 or 4, you can use Camera Raw with that. There are other applications that also allow you to work with RAW images. Even iPhoto 5, the very affordable digital shoebox from Apple, now allows you to deal with RAW images from most cameras. And this is another point that I want to bring up right now. If you're not going to use the software that comes with your camera to process the RAW images, if you're going to use a third-party software such as Elements or something else, iPhoto, you have to make sure that that software can handle those RAW files. Remember, a RAW file is not a RAW file, right? There are many different types. So often software, third-party software, they'll try to accommodate as many different types of RAW files as possible, but they may or may not be able to handle yours. So make sure that if you are going to spend money for an application to work with RAW files, that it can process the files that come with your that your camera produces. And that's a very important thing to figure out ahead of time. So, to shoot or not to shoot RAW? Well, I think at the end of the day, it really depends on all these factors that I've talked about. Now, next week, I want to get into a little bit about, okay, you've decided to at least shoot some RAW. Now, what do I do? And I'll talk a little bit about workflow and some of the different applications out there and a little bit on how to deal with these files. Now, in the show notes for this week, I'll have some references for you so you can check some things out and have a little follow-up information for you. So make sure that you hop over to the show notes and take a look at them. And that'll be also true for next week, too. As I talk about these different applications, I'll make sure I have links to them and you can take a look at some examples. And there are also articles that I've written about, for instance, iPhoto. I've written a lot about iPhoto because I'm the co-author on one of the most popular iPhoto books, iPhoto 5, The Missing Manual. I wrote that with David Pogue. And so along the way, I've also written a lot of articles, and I'll put links to those too. So in the meantime, while you're thinking about all this, take a look at the camera that you have. See if it has a RAW mode. Play with it a little bit. Check out the different file sizes and the impact that it has. See if you got anything that can process it right now. And if you don't, and if you're thinking about getting a camera, then you know, make sure that the camera has a RAW option if you're serious about your photography. And then we'll talk about what to do with those things later, maybe next week, actually for sure next week. So I think that'll do it for today. Thanks so much for joining me. I've been getting a lot of mail, and I really, really appreciate it. I'll try to answer everything. I have pretty good summaries about RAW format and pros and cons, along with JPEG and everything else, in my latest book, The Digital Photography Pocket Guide, 3rd edition. Make sure you get the 3rd edition. That's the most current one and has the most current explanations of things. And there's a link to that on the Digital Story site. So you can check that out. You can get it on Amazon for, I believe, $10.14. So not a huge investment, and I think you'll really like it. And also, as I mentioned in some of the comments on the site, that anyone who listens to the show or visits the site, if they buy one of my books, all they have to do is just send me mail. There's a Derek@thedigitalstory.com, and send me a mailing address, and I'll send you a signed author's plate that looks really nice. It's official O'Reilly. That's the publisher, author's plate, and it'll have my signature on it, that I did, and I'll even make it out to you if you want, and then you can put that right inside the book, and that way you also have a signed edition. So that's kind of cool, and that goes for anyone that listens to the show. So I'm going to wrap it up now. Thanks a lot for joining me. I'll see you next week, and until then, have a lot of fun shooting raw, I guess. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.